And welcome. It is so good to see all of you here this morning. We have a special birthday among us, so I would encourage you to sing along with the choir as they sing happy birthday to Amelia Detweiler. So choir, would you lead us? Happy birthday, Amelia. Just want to highlight a few announcements today. Tonight is the Triple J. We have renamed that to the Triple J Life Group. So what we'll be doing is just a potluck meal together. We'll have a time of just sharing life together and God's word and a song to open that up. And the kids like to share one of their prayers with us. So we'll do that tonight at the Triple J starting at 6 p.m. So everyone is invited to that, and we'd love to see your faces there. Also this week on Thursday is the Feeding Trough, our Bible study at the cafe, and that's at 6 p.m. And then on the 21st, there's a women's fellowship brunch at the Country Fair. It's at 9 a.m. And then that Saturday night coming up this week is what we're going to call a block party for young families here at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. We are going to provide a turkey and celebrate Thanksgiving together. So if you want to bring a side that would go along with that Thanksgiving theme, we would greatly appreciate that. So that's this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock here in the fellowship hall. And the poinsettias. Does anyone love poinsettias as much as I do? The poinsettias orders are now ready to be placed, and that's with Pam Gerbich. They'll be displayed here at our worship center up till the Christmas Eve service, I believe. And they're just $6.50. They come in red, white, and marbled. So that's fantastic. Christmas is soon upon us, but let's celebrate Thanksgiving first and be thankful for all the Lord has blessed us with. But with Christmas upon us, there are some stockings that have been hung with care in the narthex for many who can't attend here on a regular basis. So may we share Christmas cheer with them by providing a card or a note of encouragement as we come upon these holidays, which can be a very lonely time for many who are dealing with grief or just dealing with the inability to be with their church family as they would like. So are there any other announcements to highlight today? Again, we're so thankful that you have joined us here in this place. We have some visitors with us as part of the Black birthday celebration. So welcome to all of you. And if you don't have any other announcements, why don't we stand and greet one another and welcome them to the fellowship this morning. And then we'll be turning to page 671 in our hymnal for our call to worship. Number 671 in our hymnal as our call to worship. Oh God, we come seeking you in our worship together. We come to you for truth because we are untrue. We come to you for strength because we are weak. We come to you for wisdom because we are unwise.
Move in our midst. Show us your truth. your strength and your wisdom. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You join us for our opening hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Thank you.
You may be seated. What a comfort, what a joy to know that He watches over each one of us this day and every day of our lives. We invite you this morning to share in any joys or concerns that may be upon your heart, and we just want to celebrate with the Warwick Band. They took second place, so excellent job to Jack and the crew as they were at the Cavalcade of Champions. Great job. Yes, amen. And so we just invite the microphone to be passed around, and if you could wait till that gets to you to share with your church family any joys or concerns that you may have.
I'd like you to pray for my grandmother. Yesterday we had some experience with her, and she's not doing real well, so please pray for her.
Thank you.
We've been praying for my brother Leonard for all the last couple of weeks. They finally released him this week. He is back at home and doing quite well. I'll find out more, more tomorrow night. We're going to go down to see him again, but it seems like all the prayers have been answered, but continue the prayers. They're much needed yet at this point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the update. Yeah. So you said he's back home. And there's an update on Angie Hartman. If you remember, she had the deer come through her windshield. She has had facial surgeries completed, but she has a very long road to recovery. So just continue to keep Angie in your prayers as she recovers from that accident she had. Any others this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful to be able to gather here as brothers and sisters in this safe place we call the church. And Father, we are thankful for the love we have for one another. We're thankful for the ability to know you deeper on this day and on the days that lie ahead. And Father, we just pray that as we face different situations in our lives, that we would indeed know that you watch over us, that your steadfast love, your care is upon us. And so, Father, we rejoice knowing that we have a God who is present with us in all situations. So, Lord, we just turn to you. We lift up our Nigerian brothers and sisters. We lift up those in Paris that have been afflicted through the terroristic acts. And we just pray for their families. We pray for their recovery, those that have been hurt. But, Father, we're praying for light. We're praying for light to shine in the eyes of those whose hearts have been darkened. And Father, we know that your love transforms, and we pray for that evil to cease in Jesus' name. We just pray as well for Pete and Carol this morning, for Michael and Jen, and for Anna Mary and Joyce, and for Roberta and Carol and Bonnie, and for Jim and Dorothy. We pray for the refugee crisis in Europe, and for Loretta and Larry and Neil. We lift up Denise and pray today the vein holds up for her final infusion. And we just pray for Angie this morning and her recovery from recent surgeries upon her face. And we think of Catherine this morning. We just place them, Lord, into your loving arms. We think of Lisa's grandmother, and we continue to think of Leonard. Lord, thank you that he can be home. But Lord, we know many of these individuals are still facing a very, very long recovery process. But Father, we also recognize this morning that you are the master physician. And Father, we're praying if it would be your will, your healing touch would be placed upon each of these individuals, and that their recovery would be sped up, that their healing would take place, that no longer they would face the issues that they deal with. But Father, we're trusting you. We know that you have a perfect will for our lives. And Lord, though we don't always understand, we're asking you to be glorified in these situations. So Lord, come amidst us now as we turn to you, as we lift up those prayers upon our hearts. But Lord, we also know we aren't perfect. We make mistakes. We sin. And we turn to you with confessions this morning as well and ask your forgiveness during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we know it's because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done on the cross that we can be free. Though we may struggle, we know that we can turn that sin to you and we can receive forgiveness. So, Father, we thank you this day for the cross. We thank you for the representation of our sin being forgiven, that we can let go and we can live fully for you. So, Father, if we struggle in that area this morning, we pray that we could surrender it to you and allow you to replace anything in our lives that is sinful. So, Father, thank you that we can confess and receive that forgiveness this morning. We pray now, Lord, that you would be glorified throughout the remainder of this service, that we would go about your business this week as we share your good news with others. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. And it's your Son's precious name we pray, Jesus the Christ. Amen. For our offertory this morning, I share with you from 2 Corinthians 8, 7-8. It reads, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others." You see, the Corinthian believers excelled in everything. They had faith, good preaching, much knowledge, much earnestness, much love. Paul wanted them to also be leaders in giving. Giving is a natural response of love. Paul did not order the Corinthians to give, but he encouraged them to prove that their love was sincere. When you love someone, you want to give him or her your time and attention and to provide for his or her needs. Giving to God is just one way we show how much we love him and care for others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the abundance in our lives. Father, we know that we have bills that are upon us that need to be paid, and Lord, we're praying that you would continually allow your goodwill to be upon us, that we would be able to meet our needs. And Father, we pray also for the church that there are needs here that need met, and we pray that out of our cheerfulness that we would be able to give out of our love for you. And so this morning, may we respond and just be cheerful in our giving. And thank you for each giver and bless them, Lord, greatly. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bye.
Amen. Thank you so much. Invite any children to come forward this morning for our children's moment. My daughter Abigail apologizes. She wasn't able to be here this morning, but with mommy going through treatment, she thought it would be best to stay with her and keep her company. So this is her message that I'm giving that she would like you guys to hear this morning. So welcome, and so good to see each and every one of you. Come on down. So have you guys ever met anyone who thought they were kind of like all that? Like they were better than everyone else, they deserved special treatment. You guys ever meet anyone like that? Well, we know who wrote something about that. Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss has a story about a turtle who was like that. Perhaps you have read this story. The title is Yertle the Turtle. Have you guys ever read that one before? All right. Well, Yertle was ruler of a little pond, was ruler of a little pond on the island of Salamisand. All of the turtles at the pond had everything they needed and were quite happy. They were happy, that is, until Yertle decided that his kingdom was too small. I'm ruler of all that I see, but I don't see enough. My throne is too low down. My throne is too low down, complained Yertle. So Yertle lifted his hand and gave a command. He ordered 9 turtles in the pond to stand on each other's backs so that they could become his new entire throne. Can you picture this with me? Turtles on each other's back? That's going to look pretty crazy. He climbed up onto the backs of the turtles and he had a wonderful view. But Yertle still wasn't satisfied. Turtles! More turtles! He called from his lofty throne. Yertle swelled with pride and feelings of importance as turtles from all over the pond came to climb on the stack of turtles which made up Yertle's throne. At the very bottom of the stack was a plain and ordinary turtle named Mac. He struggled under the weight of all the turtles until finally he decided he had enough. That plain little turtle named Mac did a very plain little thing. He burped. His burp shook the throne and Yertle fell right into the mud. And now the great Yertle is king of the mud. When we think too highly of ourselves, we often wind up taking a big fall. So this morning in our sermon, we're going to be hearing a story about a man who thought he was better than everyone else, and he compared himself to another individual. So during the sermon, you'll have to listen to hear what that story is all about. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you for these children. We thank you that we know you give us extreme importance. You give us extreme value. So we pray you would help us to remain humble so that we would not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much, guys. brothers and sisters, we are the reason. We are the reason that Jesus paid it all. If there's nothing else in this entire world that makes you feel complete joy, know that Jesus has paid the price once and for all. Our sins are forgiven. We are free. We can live for Him and have relationship with our Heavenly Father. But in order to fully appreciate God's sufficiency, we must see our insufficiency. The more we see our sinfulness, the more we appreciate God's grace. As we picture our sinfulness, it's imperative that we contrast it with the righteousness of God available to us through Jesus Christ. And what we cling to stronger than ever this morning is the very fact we stand justified by His grace. There's no greater joy as a pastor than seeing his flock grab hold on this idea. We can't just live a good life and think we're good enough people and that's enough to get to heaven. It's about being justified in our faith through Christ. It's not the normal we think. You see, God will meet us in our hour of need, but we must repent, confess, and turn from our sin. The normal will always remain that God hates sin. So much so that He destroyed it with the death and the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, and for all eternity at the second coming. It's the only way, friends, to know our Heavenly Father. It's the only path to God. The key to unlocking our future in eternity is to believe upon His Son, to receive Him into our lives, and to surrender our total control to His perfect will. Righteousness before God is not anything we can do or not do. It's God's extension of His mercy and grace to repentant sinners who approach Him by faith. This means faith is the belief that God has done everything necessary to accept us. Now, brothers and sisters, if you believe that this morning, can I get an amen? Amen. There's not a single more powerful statement than to say, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." We can hear, we can see with our very eyes the humility in those words. And it's not going to get much simpler than this. It's what God calls us to, a humble faith. Always keep this thought in your mind that pride destroys and humility rescues. Would you say that with me this morning? Pride destroys and humility rescues. All we have to do is look to the cross. It's there the greatest act of humility was displayed, that you and I might be saved of our wretchedness. There on that cross, we have been given freedom to live for Christ. No more separation from God. The gap has been filled. It is finished. The debt has been paid in full. The only balance remaining is a surrender of our lives to be deposited into the new life in Christ. And friends, talk about an account overflowing with wealth. It's all right there in our relationship to God. And every time we sin, we confess and we get ourselves out of what I'll call the negative. You see, we were made to live in the positive amidst God, amidst His amazing grace. And friends, our lives will never go bankrupt on account of our faith. When we think that we've reached rock bottom with no way out, God has sent His Son to rescue us. Never forget this fact. We cannot get to heaven on our own. It's by Jesus Christ alone. No work is ever great enough. No amount of goodness within us gets us there. Now this morning, I have a question. Have we ever heard of the great Houdini? This famed escape artist was issued a challenge wherever he went. He could be locked in any jail cell in the country, he claimed, and could set himself free quickly and easily. He always kept his promise, but there was this one time something went very wrong. Houdini entered the jail in his street clothes. The heavy metal doors clanged shut behind him. He took from his belt a concealed piece of metal, strong and flexible. He set to work immediately, but something seemed to be unusual about this lock. For 30 minutes, he worked and worked, and he got nowhere. An hour passed and still nothing. By now, we can imagine he was bathed in sweat, panting in exasperation, but still he could not pick the lock. Finally, after laboring for what they say was 2 hours, Harry Houdini collapsed in frustration and failure against the door. And here's where it's not the normal we think. When he fell against that door, guess what happened? It swung open. You see, it's never been locked at all. But in his mind, it was. And all it took was to walk out that jail cell. How many times do we complicate what God has made so simple? It reminds me of our parable Jesus tells today. It's a familiar parable to many of us. And it's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus, in these few verses, tells us about 2 men, a Pharisee who was respected as a godly leader and teacher of the day, and then a tax collector who was completely despised by society. When we look at the Pharisee, we kind of picture a first-rate man. He thanks God for making him the way he is. He's morally good. We hear he doesn't cheat or commit adultery. He's just. He's devoted to his God. He fasts twice a week. And he sacrifices, giving a tenth of all he earns to God. This Pharisee, if you will, is a top bloke, and he prides himself on being a good man. The tax collector, on the other hand, seems to be the complete opposite of the Pharisee. He couldn't even look God in the eye, so to speak. And so he stood far off because he realized he was a good-for-nothing lowlife. And all he could do was cry out, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." You see, he had no excuse. He couldn't deny who he was. But all he could say was more than enough. No wonder tax collectors and sinners were considered to be one and the same. You might be thinking, "Now, wait a minute. I thought you said this story of Houdini reminded you of this story in Luke. I'm just not seeing the connection." Well, if you noticed, I didn't read the entire story. I left out 2 key verses, the first and the last. You see, Jesus wasn't just telling the story for us to picture the two different guys. Let me read the remaining. It begins, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable," which we read earlier. And then it ends, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." And a very familiar verse from last week. "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus says the tax collector, not the Pharisee, got it right. It's not the normal we think. You see, the Pharisee tried to work his way to a right relationship with God, just like Houdini. He tried to work his way to freedom in what he thought was a locked cell. Friends, we're not any different. We do this every day. We feel trapped in a particular situation, and there seems to be no easy way out. Perhaps it's a sin, a financial crisis, a broken relationship, an impossible health situation. We simply don't see an end in sight, and day by day, it appears to only get worse. But then, we take a second look at the story. The Pharisee, we see, tried to earn God's favor. He had not understood that his very, very best was simply not good enough. Sometimes we think if we only do the right things to please God, he'll miraculously bless us. When Houdini gave up and simply fell against the door, it swung wide open for him. When the tax collector threw himself on the mercy of God, it was like Houdini admitting defeat and failure. It was like falling against that door. We try and try as we may to do it on our own. It's when we're totally broken and have lost our own control that God seems to show up. Could it be that all that time the door was open and we were doing too much on our own and not allowing God to move in our midst? It happens all the time. We love control. But God, it seems, likes it when we lose our control. It's not the normal we think. We work to receive. We don't just give up. It's the way we're wired. Dependency on anyone is simply not an option. As a matter of fact, it's a sign of weakness. Yet, when we're dependent on God, we can trust his will to carry out in our lives. For when we are weak, he is strong. As long as we hold on for dear life, we're not letting go for God to open the door. We really never will know what blessing may follow because we're not ready to surrender and give in. We try as we may to stay strong on our own as long as we possibly can. But friends, when that moment comes, and it will come, we cry out to God in our brokenness, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm weak. I can't do this on my own." And it's then that he shows up. Friends, I get the fact we want to do things on our own, but we're not always going to be able to. It's not God's design. We were made to seek him. He wants to be found. Our strength will fade, and we need someone strong enough to carry us. Our friends, our family, our loved ones are a wonderful, wonderful support that God has provided. But in the end, God is the solution to our problems. Turn to him first and foremost. Love him the most. He will not give us anything more than he can handle. You see, the tax collector understood that when Jesus had proclaimed that the greatest commandments were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love others as yourself, he had no hope of being good enough. All he could do was throw himself on God's mercy. It's not the normal we think. We work, work, work to get ahead in life. We pour out blood, sweat, and tears to keep it all together. The longer the hours, the better. We push and press harder, and eventually we discover success. That works in the business world, but not at all the case with God. You know what he says? He says to be still and know that I am God. Friends, we are loved beyond our conception. We are accepted in a world where others try to tear us down. We come as sinners seeking God's mercy. Might I encourage us this week to take time and rest at his feet? You see, the Pharisee did what a lot of us do. He tried to be good enough. And that's like trying to jump to catch the stars. No matter how high we jump, we're always going to come up short. And that is the case with God. We will never do enough to earn our way to heaven. There's nothing possible we can do except surrender and let go of our sinful self and grab hold of the redemption found in Christ. Now the Pharisee, he went as far as comparing himself with other people. We can even hear him now saying, "Thank God I'm not like the tax collector." And believe you me, he wasn't. He was far, far better than that tax collector. But you see, the Pharisee was using the wrong measuring tool. He should have been measuring himself against God. And there's not one of us who can ever measure up to his grace and mercy that he offers. It's not all that difficult to compare ourselves to someone worse than ourselves and come out looking pretty good. But it's another thing to measure ourselves against God's standard, who says, "Be perfect as I am perfect." And it's only through God that we can meet that standard. On our own, we're simply a lost cause. So think about that for a moment. What does it look like for God's mercy to fall upon this tax collector and us? I truly like the way Romans 6 explains it. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Many of us, as believers in the Church of the Brethren, were baptized, but it still didn't get us right with God. It merely symbolizes being right with him. When we were submerged into that water, whether a pond, a creek, or a baptismal, we symbolized the fact that we died and were buried with Christ. In reality, we were baptized into him. His death to sin became our death to sin. His burial became our burial. His resurrection became our resurrection. And our identification doesn't end in death to sin. It extends to being resurrected with him to a new life. A life lived in Jesus to God. Now talk about having life to the full and overflowing. When we came up out of those baptismal waters, we were proclaiming the newness of life we have found in Jesus Christ. Jesus affirms this by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. and I came to give you life, life more abundantly. In Philippians 3:5-9, Paul says this about himself. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. And then he goes on to say this, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness on my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. We are so blessed today to know that God has revealed his righteousness to us and allowed us to put our trust in Jesus, the one, the only, who has never broken the greatest commandments. This week, may we be encouraged to walk daily in the newness of life. For the sinful you died with Jesus, and the righteous you rose with him. His righteousness has been imparted to us this very day. Nothing we can work for on our own. May our risen Savior have his way in each of our lives. Friends, the door is open. He's waiting for you to walk through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for our salvation. We know, Lord Jesus, we can work and work, but nothing we do can ever work enough to get us to that eternal resting place called heaven. Father, we know that we're not good enough, just like that tax collector, but you freely pour upon us grace and mercy. So today and the rest of the days of our lives, we cry out to you, God, we are sinners, have mercy on us. But Father, we do strive on a daily basis to live that new life. We strive on a daily basis to confess and to turn from that sin that so easily entangles. Father, lead us into this new life. Guide us into that path of righteousness. And let us share that love with others. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you please rise for our closing hymn?
Yeah.
Lord our God, great, eternal, wonderful, utterly to be trusted. You give life to us all. You help those who come to you. You give hope to those who cry to you. Forgive our sins, secret and open, and rid us of every habit of thought that stands against the gospel. Set our hearts at peace so we may live our lives before you, confidently and without fear. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen and amen.